and it makes cybercrime more profitable than the global trade of all major illegal drugs combined.
And you ain't got to stand out on the street corner to do it.
Yeah, I guess that's a way to do it. A way to look at it.
You're listening to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast, where HIPAA and humor collide to make learning fun. Your delightful hosts are Donna Grindle and David Sims. Relax. HIPAA help is on the way.
Welcome to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast. My name is David Sims of HIPAA4MSPs.com. And joining me is Donna Grindle of CardinCompliance.com. Oh, Donna, how's it going?
Well, I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm good. As people are listening, we're now into November.
Yes. I can't believe it seems like yesterday we were doing our 2017 plans.
I know. Speaking of yesterday, the last episode, we talked about some things that all of a sudden came to fruition during the week. Interesting how that happened. So we'll be talking about some of that today as we talk about, is there a cyber storm a brewing?
Yeah, I know. We had fun with the Halloween episode. We were telling scary stories and all, but, you know, it was all tongue-in-cheek and fun. This is actual scary stuff where I realized that maybe there is something scary on the horizon.
Yeah, there's a lot that we'll be talking about, and it has put us in the IT world into a tailspin the past week or two, trying to get a lot of things patched and assessed and all that. So we'll dive into that more in a little bit. So before we do that, though, you're winding down your annual where you're gonna bees.
it's a good thing to get to the end of the year, and now I'm down to, you know, the, as we say, the private time where I go meet with clients and all that stuff. But there are still two public events in 2019. The
2019? Georgia
2019. Good God, I'm tired, boo.
You left me behind. I'm still in 2017.
I know. Well, in a minute, it'll make sense why I've got all those numbers in my head. But anyway, November 9th, I'll be in Callaway Gardens with the Georgia Association of Orthopedic Executives. I'm doing a whole new presentation on risky business.
You're going to slide in when you stop?
Slide in. And I thought about, you know, wearing the sunglasses and all that stuff. But anyway, it's about managing insiders and how scary insider threats are, which also relates to today's episode. November 13th, HFMA Care Forum, where we talk about compliance issues, and I'll be doing some stuff about infection control for technology. And I have officially done the deal with Georgia, South Carolina, Ambulatory Surgery Centers, Joint Conference, something. I don't know all of it yet. But anyway, on February 15th and 16th is a conference. I think I'm speaking early on the morning of the 16th. So I will have the official paperwork done for the first one in 2018.
Awesome. Yeehaw. So you're not speaking after lunch. That's awesome.
Well, sometimes first thing in the morning might not be a good thing for me either. So, you know, I'm not a morning person.
Yeah.
So.
After lunch is the worst, except for maybe the end of the day.
Although they often tell me I should speak after lunch because, you know, it does keep you awake.
I'm sure it does.
Yeah.
Let me also mention to the listeners that if you find this episode valuable or this podcast of any value to you, we do have a Patreon account set up at helpmewithhippa.com/give. And that's where you can go and you can pledge to give pretty much whatever amount. I think we have them in you can do $1 a month, $5 a month. There's certain things that we kind of give away as you start getting up into the other denominations, but for as little as a dollar a month, you can sponsor and this podcast and help us keep the lights on. So that's a quarter of an episode. Come on now. I mean, I almost feel like having one of those little tin cups. Like, come on.
I know.
Give me your pocket change. So,
indeed.
I mean, you know, we talk all the time about this being your training program, you know, that you can use the podcast to do your training and document and all that. I'm sure if you're doing that, it's got to be worth several dollars a month to you. So we're just giving that out. There is an option if you want to help promote the podcast or support the podcast. That's a way you can do that. We've had a lot of listeners say they want to be able to support the podcast. So we've created that option for you. So helpmewithhipaa.com/give. All right. So, we also have a media kit. So if you're somebody who may want to advertise on the show, you can reach out to us or you can go to helpmewithhipaa.com/media kit. No, media, just media. Forgot what it was.
Oh, there you go.
All right. So, and of course, you can review us on all the places we are as well.
We need reviews. We haven't been begging for them. So, David, you got to do a better job of begging.
I know. I may have to take a picture of me like on my hands and knees, you know, please.
Let's do it. Let's do it. All right. So that makes it all the business is handled and we can now get on to the topic of the day.
Yep. Housekeeping is done. Let's get it.
Yeehaw. So here's the thing. Yeah, we all know that we read the nerd news.
Mm-hmm.
And we read it so you don't have to.
That's worth a dollar a month right there.
It's worth more than that to a lot of people. I know. But there's just in the last, the last month, last few weeks, there have been a lot of very scary things hitting the news. There have been Department of Homeland Security even did a warning specifically to healthcare, saying, hey, we think some stuff's out there and y'all should be vigilant for cybersecurity. And this could just be noise or paranoia that trying to drive traffic to sites. But when you see one of those kind of things, you think that's probably what it is. But when we see so many, I don't think I could put them all in one episode. I handpicked just a few to share that are in a short period of time. It really does make me wonder, is there really a cyber storm brewing on the horizon? Because it seems like it's been a little quiet. And then all of a sudden we get a lot of these. So here are some of the reports with information that kind of leads us to believe that we should ramp up our vigilance a little bit more. Not that we should ever be low on it, but it's been quiet enough that everybody's kind of relaxed a little bit, and there's some scary stuff out there.
And some of these things, one thing that's interesting is that if you're not in the cybersecurity or IT community, some of these things you never hear about. Now, you hear about the NotPetya and, you know, WannaCry, all that stuff made huge national news. But some of the stuff, even though I think it's a big deal, never makes it into the national scene. And we'll talk about one in a little bit. I don't want to skip around, but we had one earlier in the week, or maybe it was last week. My weeks were coming together too, but
yeah.
I mean, it was a big deal. It affected like everybody, but yeah. I never saw it in the news anywhere here.
No, it's like the whole world.
I know. It's like there's all.
Yeah. So yeah, let's get into the dirty deeds here because when you hear some of these, and of course, we're not going to do them in the super nerdy way.
Nope.
And, we're going to try to do it in the English, I guess is what we're going to say.
Yeah. So for the super nerds who listen, then you just have to kind of bear with us.
And, well, you can get the links and go read it yourself, or if when you put them all together, I would be interested to hear comments from any of the folks that have you put these things together. What do you think these things mean to us? So let's start with a report from the company Carbon Black on ransomware economy.
Mm-hmm.
So this one had, they're looking at what's really going on. And we had heard stories or seen reports about a lot of this stuff, but never had it all put in one place.
Mm-hmm.
That when you go out on the dark net now, it's not like you just are a ransomware person. There's actually a whole economy built on ransomware on the dark net by the criminals. It's got middlemen. It's got ransomware as a service. You know, you write it and then you're able to sell it multiple times over. It's amazing what's happening here. In a, it's like its own little distribution network as any other product.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a billion-dollar software industry.
Yeah. And
billion.
In a lot of ways, better and more efficient than what we use in the normal economy.
Yeah, really, it is. You know, it's a cash business, so you know how that goes. But also, there's cases like I read today where their own sales ransom. Did you see the one today where on one of the discussion forums of hackers, a hacker hacked that and they're saying they'll release it to the authorities unless you pay to have your name removed? Yeah, I mean, it's crazy stuff. But the amount of ransomware for sale on the internet, the demand of it. So 2016 was the biggest year we had ever seen for ransomware. It's when everybody really started to understand how dangerous this stuff is, right?
Right.
The demand for purchasing it from other bad guys is up 2,500%.
Nice.
Wish my stocks would do that.
But maybe we need to start moving our money somewhere else.
I know, really. If my stocks would do that, I wouldn't even have to have this podcast, right? We could just pay for it ourselves.
Yeah. So, but here, this answers the question that we always get, though, Donna, which is, why are people doing this? You know, why don't they get regular jobs?
You know, well, why do any criminals do what they do, number one? Number two is, how many criminals could rob your house in the United States from Russia or Malaysia or China? Pretty much zero.
Right.
But they can using ransomware and these things. So when you're in some of these third world economies, the fact that you have a computer with a connection to the internet means you're the rich person on the block.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the other ones, which are even more scary, where this money is being used to fund terrorism and other crime syndicates kind of things. So, yeah, it's scary out there.
Absolutely.
And it's irrelevant why when there's this much of it going on. When you add to the fact that there's that much happening and the demand is up that high for ransomware so that it can be done, you know, attacks can be done, then add in these statistics. The fact that just this year alone, in one of the surveys, it showed that email traffic, if you're looking at all email traffic that this service, and I don't remember which one it was, they were reviewing 53 to 58%. 53 was the lowest all year long of the total spam in all email. So over half of the email that's going out is spam. That tells you something.
Oh, yeah.
Add to that that there's plenty of studies and estimates that show that roughly 90% of all spam has malware payloads, so things like ransomware in it. These are huge numbers, and that's why they continue to invest in building that business, which is terrifying. Yes, I know. So we know that they're out there doing this and building their business, and this report gives you all kinds of, it even shows you how the network, the economy built around this works and all the different parts. It's a really interesting report. We'll have the link on the website. But then I read the CSO Online Cybersecurity Business Report that said their top five cybersecurity facts, figures, and statistics for 2017 that just came out this month. Tie that in with the 2,500%, it makes these numbers make sense.
Mm-hmm.
They expect that cybercrime damage will hit $6 trillion annually by 2021. So here's why I've got all those weird dates in my head. Well, it freaked me out at first because I'm using 2020 anything.
Yeah. It's like, what?
No, it's like, where is the time gone? Yesterday, I was partying like it's 1999. But
literally yesterday.
maybe. So they say, okay, so that's $6 trillion by 2021. Trillions, trillions. We're no longer in the billions. We're in the trillions. So there again is why everybody is doing this. And that's a year ago, it was $3 trillion. So it's going to double from a year ago. And the quote was, this represents the greatest transfer of economic wealth in history.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes cybercrime more profitable than the global trade of all major illegal drugs combined.
And you ain't got to stand out on the street corner to do it.
Yeah, I guess that's a way to do it, a way to look at it. But again, now you can see if cybercrime is more profitable than all major illegal drugs combined. I mean, you know, your product is vapor, you know. It's not something that you're having to mark. You know, you don't have to traffic it across all these areas. So everybody's moving to it.
Yeah.
And, you know, just say no to cybercrime. Yeah. I don't know that that's going to work.
Yeah. I mean, it won't work because, you know, if you're going to, let's just compare the two here. If you wanted to purchase illegal drugs, then that's something you have to actively do. If you, you know, are a victim of ransomware, you know, that's not typically something you go out and look for.
you know, it's
because you didn't do certain things or you clicked on something or you didn't have protections in place, but you can much more easily become a victim of ransomware than you could, you know, if you were going out and trying to buy, you know, illegal drugs somewhere. So,
well, yeah, the consumer is actually participating.
Right.
You know, there is a consumer in the drug market. There is not a consumer that is
not willingly. Your average.
Yeah. But that's, you know, they're taking your money. So then they added to that, cybersecurity spending will exceed $1 trillion over the four-year period from 2017 to 2021, or five-year period, however you want to count that.
Mm-hmm.
$1 trillion. So we got a trillion.
So you got six.
What's that? I thought I put it down. So anyhow, cybersecurity spending at $1 trillion while the damage cost is $6
trillion. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know why that is. It's because all your smaller businesses are not going to put the money out there, even if it's just a few thousand dollars a year. They just don't see that they're not going to come after me. I have nothing they want.
Well, and you know, there's part of the problem of why is there a huge demand for this stuff is because people won't do what it takes to prevent it.
Mm-mm.
You know, it's just the way it is. The cybercrime issue, item number three, is that it will more than triple the number of unfilled cybersecurity jobs, which is predicted to reach 3.5 million by 2021.
Yep. So, mamas, if you don't want your babies to grow up be cowboys,
let them be a nerd.
Put them in the cybersecurity field.
It's crazy that, you know, people will say, hey, my, you know, what do you think my kids should go into if they're good with computers, cybersecurity? I don't even let them finish.
Yeah.
Cybersecurity, pick anything. If they're remotely interested in it, do it. It doesn't matter. And they made a few really good points. Every IT position is also a cybersecurity position now.
That's very true because we've shifted to that in our IT business. Over the past year, I'd say we've really focused on it more. I mean, before it was kind of, yes, we did cybersecurity, but now it's like, it can't be a secondary thing anymore. It's primary.
And
there are a lot of IT people that I converse with, they're doing the exact same thing. They're, you know, we used to be able to kind of have a cursory understanding of the security aspects,
mm-hmm.
but now it's, you know, we have to be a lot more versed in that. And we're even partnering with, you know, security operation centers so that we have even more resources that we can combat this with.
Yeah, it's not something that's going to get better clearly by these numbers.
Mm-mm.
It's not, we haven't even hit the peak yet. So every single IT worker, every technology worker needs to be involved with protecting and defending apps, data, devices, infrastructure, and people. That's a direct quote from this article, CSO, which is cybersecurity officers. Hello. We need help. And so a lot of the presentations, because I am doing a lot of presentations right now, and I did one with some IT staff this week, and that was what I was trying to drive home, is you've got to realize how bad it's getting, and everybody has to participate in security. And as IT people, we have to change the way we think, that we can't just throw some antivirus out there and configure a firewall and know that it's good, because the other thing, the next piece that we have here is item number 4, is the human attack surface will reach 6 billion people on the internet by 2022. Mm. 6 billion. And so that means, as the world has transitioned to digital, humans have moved ahead of machines as the top target for cyber criminals. The hackers smell blood now, not silicone. Silicon Valley is no longer what they're after. So we as tech people think that we need to secure the computers, and that's not what the criminals are after. And that's why we're losing ground.
Yeah, your weakest link is your people.
We've been saying, it's the people, people.
I know.
You know, the entire time we've done this podcast, that's what we've been trying to drive home. We've talked about that over and over and over. You've got to train. You know, even at the end of our boot camp, the number one thing that everybody that goes through our boot camp learns is, have we mentioned training?
Yeah.
I'm sick of hearing about training. But it's the only way you're going to get there, because you can't control the actions of people. Humans by nature tend to be risky people. We just don't realize that we are. It won't happen to me is risky. I'm sorry.
Hey, y'all, watch this.
Hold my beer. But to look at that need, and also to realize that this statistic in here, the cybersecurity unemployment rate has dropped to 0%.
Awesome.
0%. If you're in cybersecurity, there is no reason you would not have a job, other than you just choose not to be in cybersecurity. You're really not in it. You say it so that, you know, you can stay in mom and dad's basement. But so we get to number 4, humans are our biggest problem now. It's the people. Then it's global ransomware damage costs are predicted. Now, we're talking specifically about ransomware, which was in our report from Carbon Black, which brings this all back together. The global ransomware damage costs are predicted to exceed $5 billion in 2017.
This year.
A 15 times increase just in the last 2 years, and it's expected to be worse.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like a cyber storm's a brewing.
Then came this quote, which got my attention more than most. Ransomware attacks on healthcare organizations, the number one cyber attack industry, will quadruple by 2020.
Oh, Lordy.
Yeah. Again, we're saying 2020, but quadruple.
So,
and we know how much it's been up now.
There's your warning sign, right? Everybody wants to know, what should you be focused on? Wow.
And it's another reason the Department of Homeland Security is saying, hey, everybody needs to pay attention. And more importantly, healthcare needs to pay attention. Healthcare, the number one cyber attack industry. It's the only specific industry mentioned in this article.
And it's going to quadruple.
So it's a discussion that we have had. I talk about it every single day, that people still think you can wipe and restore. You cannot. You know, I'm having a conversation with you. I'm having a conversation with another business partner, has a client that thought they could wipe and restore. It's a big problem. In healthcare, you can't do that. In healthcare, you have to evaluate and investigate.
Yeah.
You have to do more.
And we don't care who else you hear that from, if it's an opposing view. Because I heard a very large IT organization, vendor, that basically wanted to debate that.
Actually use the "we can debate this if you like" phrase with David, which...
Yeah. So there's nothing to debate. I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah. So they've made it clear. OCR has made that very, very clear.
Yeah. So just understand that when you're listening to people on, you know, videos or webinars, or you're reading their articles or whatever, you need to vet everything that comes out of people's mouths. I mean, even us. Read it yourself if you need to. But just understand that because somebody has put themselves in a position of saying they know HIPAA doesn't necessarily mean they're giving you the right information.
They're not necessarily. A HIPAA seal of approval means nothing.
The seal of compliance.
That's it. But in that vein, it's happening constantly that there's all of this misinformation out there. It still is happening. And we can only do what we do. But yeah, David's right. Vet us. But, you know, that's a reason we provide links to everything mm-hmm. we talk about.
You're right.
It's not just us making stuff up, except when we're trying to be stupid. That is it. But the other piece in that area, after they got my attention with the number one cyber attacked industry, healthcare will quadruple by 2020 with ransomware. Ouch. The other part is Cybersecurity Ventures, which is, I don't know where, it's another research firm. They predict that a business will fall victim to a ransomware attack every 14 seconds by 2019, which is now why we know I had 19 on the brain.
If you're getting attacked every 14 seconds, you need an IT firm.
Yeah, I know, really. A business will fall victim. It's not just being attacked. They will fall victim every 14 seconds. By a year from now. Let's wait 14 seconds, see how long that takes, David.
I just hope it's not the same business getting hit every 14 seconds.
Really. But if you have 14 seconds in between attacks, and you know that already we've had a 15 times increase in the damage. Now, they're talking about the damage, not the ransoms paid.
Mm-hmm.
Which is different than the ransom paid, which is what the item number one was talking about. So it's clear ransomware is something you have to worry about in any business, but particularly in healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
It's huge. It's unprecedented, the growth in ransomware attacks, whether it's reports from Malwarebytes that showed the number of ransomware payloads in that they were detecting went from 18% or something like that to 66% over the course of 2016. Boom.
Mm-hmm.
So next we get to the one that your favorite is.
Yeah, this is one that drove me crazy.
Yeah.
Just because of how big it was. And I still have to scratch my head wondering why it never got talked about on the national news front.
Well, and the thing that it's an article said it'll take us decades to clear this one up. Decades.
Yeah.
And nobody's talking about it.
So what we are talking about is, we call it the crack attack.
That's the name they gave it. Because you got to get the nerds name things. That's why we have crack attack.
But it's K-R-A-C-K. And what it has to do with, and without getting nerdy here, is that all Wi-Fi devices have a way that they encrypt traffic. So they have a standard. What it is now that everybody uses, you know, probably for the past, I don't know, at least 5 years or so, everybody's used what's called WPA2 standard. And so what the crack attack is they actually found a potential vulnerability in that standard, in the WPA2 standard, which means that every single Wi-Fi device on the planet has to be patched.
Practically everything. So routers, your Windows, Apple devices, all of your phones. The scary part is it also includes all of the Internet of Things.
Mm-hmm.
Your routers, the Wi-Fi access points, and people don't even know how to patch those things. And we already know IoT vendors don't have easy patches coming in. I monitor, you know, our router patches get monitored all the time.
Mm-hmm.
How many people do that on their home devices? I'm going to go with...
Yeah, none. None.
Well, you know, there's nerds out there. And dial a nerd, folks. Dial a nerd. Everybody knows one.
Yeah, but this is a big problem. Now, the good part of this problem is that in order for somebody to take advantage of it, they do have to be within a vicinity of your Wi-Fi. So that's the plus that's keeping it from being just a massive global meltdown. But the bad thing is how many people are going to actually do this. And I don't know of anybody, at least like my clientele, that's going to be proactive in doing this. Of course, they're my clients, so I'm doing it for them. But I do know a ton of businesses out there that are still using the off-the-shelf, I bought it at, you name the box store, router that has the built-in Wi-Fi, or even it's the Wi-Fi that's built into your modem that came from your internet provider.
Well, and some of the internet providers require you to do it.
Right. And so, it's just a massive thing. I mean, we spent almost an entire week going through patching all of the Wi-Fi devices that we manage. And even still, there are clients that we have that have devices that aren't under our management that we're having to try to get them to, you know, give us access to or talk to them about what's going on. And it's just a massive issue.
And all of the vendors don't have patches out.
Right. They don't.
So there's another flaw in the process is that you may have a vendor that doesn't even offer a patch for this particular thing. So you need to, number one, make sure your IT people know that they should be patching things and have done an inventory of everything that needs a patch and which ones have gotten one. Okay, then we have a dead spot there, but hey.
I'm just thinking about all the work I got to do.
That's it, right?
I'm overwhelmed already.
Yeah, that whole line of you must be smoking crack, David, apparently is just dreaming about it.
Yeah, you know, here's one of the times, though, that when you have an MSP, a managed service provider company, sometimes you don't hear from them or you're not calling them and complaining because you can't get your computer to do something and you think that there's nothing going on or they're not doing anything for you. This is just one of those times where you don't really realize how much behind the scenes work is happening, even if you don't hear from them, if they're doing the job properly or you're not calling with problems. There's still a massive amount of work that's done in a given, you know, day, month, year. All the time. And this is part of it.
Yeah. You always hear the people say, I don't need a regular contract because I very rarely need help.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
These are the kinds of moments where you learn that it's not about help desk. It's about more than help desk. And that's what professional IT support provides. So.
Yeah. But this does give you a point of conversation that you should be having with your IT provider. You know, are you aware of this and what are you doing to make sure that we're patched on this front? So you definitely want to have that conversation and be proactive about it.
You want to get the documentation that shows they are doing this too, because you're going to need that documentation for your compliance.
Yes. Do not assume.
Because we know about assume. So let's move on to the next one. Scary part.
Mm-hmm.
Dark web vendors are selling remote access to corporate PCs for as little as $3 each. $3 for a Windows XP system, and you have to really spring for a $9 buy on a Windows 10. Now, we talked about this after going to HIMSS and seeing the Israeli military guy who said, you need to be aware of these things, and he showed us the list and where you could buy access for, you just bid on it.
Hmm.
But this one is an active market for compromised RDP credentials.
Huh.
RDP is the other thing we've talked about.
Yeah.
You want to explain that part?
Yeah, well, it's basically the remote desktop protocol is what RDP stands for, but it just gives people a remote access to your systems. That's the easiest way to talk about it.
Well, and it's built into Windows.
Built into, yeah.
So it's a Windows-specific protocol.
Yep. And we talked about how many problems of security they've had with that, and that you shouldn't be using it unless you're using a VPN and all that stuff.
Right. It should not be public on the web. You shouldn't be able to just open an RDP session and connect to a website address without being connected to a private network in some way using VPN or something else. So the article on this one says that the remote nature of login means attackers can quietly and anonymously monitor the compromised network, enabling access to documents and other files and providing systems on which to install malicious software, aka malware. And in order to protect exploitation of RDP, organizations should regularly review their systems and security, put in place strong passwords to prevent brute force access to corporate networks. They say that this form of attack will grow in popularity as more cyber criminals realize that credentials are on sale at such a low price.
It's Black Friday sale.
It's like they don't even know about it all yet. And no, this podcast is not going to inform them because I doubt they're very much listening to us. But they're actively going out and finding these devices that they can attack, get the username and password, turn around and sell it. So you've got one part of the economy, just the hunter-gatherers.
Yep.
Turning around and selling it to the people who want to use it. And they're going to be able to make a good bit of money at this, which then takes us to the next scary thing. But make sure in our, what was the episode with David Benton? We did the stages of grief. And one of the points that we talked about repeatedly in there is make sure your RDP is not public.
Yeah,
Don't do it.
That was episode 108.
Yeah. And if you use RDP internally, know that that is one of your risky threats if you are infiltrated another way, like with phishing or something.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing was that there are new malware types that have been out on the Storm websites and listservs. There are two different ones that seem to be growing: file-less malware and macro-less office malware, among others. The reason these are scary is any malware tools work because they expect files that will be dropped off and they will launch the malware. If there's no file, now they're having to look at what your programs are actually doing, or they look for scripts that run in macros. So we tell you, say no, say no. And they now are running these files. They launch in memory, or this malware launches in memory without ever dropping off a file to run. So that they've got to detect and respond and then, of course, recover from these kinds of things. But then you also have Office programs. So it's really cool that I can do a Word doc and pull into it automatically a spreadsheet, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or a PowerPoint presentation and bring in a table or a chart from one of the others. If I do that, I am using a connection that's built into all of the Office tools so they can talk to each other. This new macro-less stuff uses that to run things and execute malware. It's bad stuff.
Yep.
That gets way nerdy. And then we get to Bad Rabbit.
Yeah, this is a recent thing from this week that we're having to follow. Yeah, and this... If this was a new ransomware strain, and it's kind of like the NotPetya type strain and the WannaCry, but this one's a little different, and I'll let you tell about it.
It's a bad rabbit.
Yeah, it's the funny thing about it is that supposedly it got its name because it spreads like rabbits multiply.
Yeah, it's absolutely terrifying how quickly this thing has been able to spread. And of course, it's using same kind of stuff that NotPetya did to be able to spread. And it hasn't made it to the U.S. yet. That's good. And they think that it has been shut down, that the platform that it was running off of has been completely disabled, or at least they felt like it was hacked, I guess, and they took off and left the building, virtual building, standing there in rubbles. So it may not reach the United States, but every indication is we're living on borrowed time before another big one does. And this one will eventually morph. They morphed NotPetya into this one, and they were very successful in Europe over the last few days with it. Probably so much so that they shut it down because they found some new thing that they can do. So the infrastructure has been shut down. The next broadcast of a new version of Bad Rabbit. I wonder what they would call the next one. What do you call baby rabbits? Bunnies. It'll be Bad Bunny.
What do you call baby rabbits?
It'll be bunny. Bad Bunny. Or, you know, who knows? Roger Rabbit. Who knows what it'll be called? But it's just a matter of time before another one of those is launched. And we know that ransomware is the big thing. We cannot state that enough, how much we need to worry about it and be watching for it.
Yeah,
because and now,
you know, the thing about ransomware, and we've talked about this 100 times, I know, but it's worth mentioning. Most of the time, the only way you're going to recover from ransomware is you have to have good backup systems.
Right.
And be able to recover from them.
Yeah.
That is a two-part thing there. There are some people who have backups, but they don't, but they can't recover them.
Yeah, there's no way to recover if your backup is also encrypted. Or if your backup was never tested to know that you could actually restore from it, or if your backup was, you know, done last night and it's only on the web and now it's going to take you, what was the calculation that you can't, how long it would take to be able to restore on some of these things, that it would take like a month to restore because you couldn't get your backup sent to you on a drive so that it could happen instantly.
Mm-hmm.
But that's more of what's wrong with some of the backup solutions that some people use, and they don't understand that that's what's happened to them.
Yeah, especially if you're paying the, you know, $59 a year for backup.
Yeah, let's not go into that. That's a whole nother thing to get David on his soapbox.
Yeah, you're probably not getting what you think. But anyway.
Yeah. You might want to question how long it would take you to restore everything. That's all we're saying. So now we get to the last one because we've had enough terrifying stuff. The scariest part, and if you've stuck with us this long, this is absolutely, to me, one of the scariest pieces because there's a lot of we don't know. But there is an IoT botnet that is growing, and whoever the bad guys are, they're just letting this thing grow and building a big army of IoT devices, and it's like a dozen different kinds of devices, everything from routers, and another thing was cameras, of course. But this thing is worse than the Mirahi, or however you pronounce the one that nearly took down the East Coast completely on the internet in August of last year. And they have different names of it. There's IO Troop, IoT Reaper, or Reaper. There's a variety of different names, but it's all the same one. But what's the scariest part of this is that it's a worm, and it's spreading all by itself, building the botnet from one device to another. Checkpoint, they were the ones, and it's an Israeli company, so maybe they're watching better. I don't know. They had detected it in September, and it is growing at a rapid pace.
Mm-hmm.
This thing is like, if you look at the chart of it, it's absolutely terrifying to see how just the trend line goes just almost straight up off the graph. The people that were able to bring down the internet with the Mirahi, that botnet didn't grow like this one. It used a different method to grow. But the big issue here is we don't know what the motives are because we don't know who it is that is commanding this army of devices. We just know that they're getting infected. And the infection, of course, you have to then go around and clean up all these devices, but they've got to understand how it's spreading and be able to stop it. So they're trying to watch it and figure out what to do with it. But the big issue here, here's some of the headlines that are telling you and describing what this thing means. The IO Troop botnet hits over 1 million organizations in under 30 days. A million organizations. That doesn't mean a million devices. It means a million organizations loaded up with devices. IoT, IO Troop slash Reaper a massive botnet cyberstorm is coming to take down the internet. Now, that one's a little scary. I thought maybe they were just kind of blowing things. But you read all these articles, it is not necessarily FUD, fear, uncertainty, and doubt. A massive new Internet of Things bot is growing, and no one knows what it will do. That's the scary one to me.
Mm-hmm.
Reaper, calm before the IoT security storm? We need to know what this thing's doing, and at any point, we don't know when it could be, this thing could be turned on us, and it will do whatever I think it needs to do because there are so many of them. So whatever the bad guys are planning on doing with this thing, it's just a waiting game.
It'd be like Y2K.
Well, we at least knew when Y2K was coming.
Yeah, we did.
With this one, you're just sitting there waiting, you know. It's like the horror movies where you're just watching because you know the chainsaw is going to come flying through the door or something at any minute.
Yeah, and this is one of those times where, you know, you have to look at people who are walking around with all the technology on them and say, you know, if you're not being diligent in keeping these devices up to date and patched and at least somewhat understanding how to properly use them securely, then you're part of the problem.
Yeah, your devices could be part of this army and you have no idea that you are part of this growing storm.
Mm-hmm. Another thing you have to consider as a company, as a business, is how are you going to function should the internet not work for a period of time?
Yeah, it should be part of your, you know, disaster recovery business continuity discussion. We always know that. But how long are you able to function with everything down? Not only as a business, but as a human being. We just freak right on out these days if we don't have internet and power.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know. Irma taught a lot of things to a lot of us. But if you were to completely shut down a big chunk of the internet, it changes the way the entire world's economy works. So you've got to wonder what these things are going to be done, what they're going to be used to do. And the clock's a ticking. Here we go. So that's just a few of the big ones that are out there. There's some other ones that got too techy for me to try to even get into. I don't know. What do you think, David? It's a waiting game to see if this storm actually hits. But all of these things coming out at the same time are definitely attention getting when you put them all together in just a few weeks.
Well, I think that what happens, there's a couple things. First is, if we cover everything that we hear all the time, eventually people get numb to it.
Right.
And that plays into kind of the standard, it won't happen to me syndrome that I always say people have.
Mm-hmm.
But then when it does happen, it's, what can I
why
do now?
Why didn't you tell us?
Yeah, why didn't you tell us? And how are you going to fix this quickly? And it's like, you know, you hear the whole ounce of prevention thing. It still plays true here. You know?
Yeah, and we do read this stuff constantly, and there's all of this scary stuff, and we pay attention to it, and we talk about it amongst ourselves quietly.
Yeah, if you're lucky,
discuss
then...
Discuss amongst yourselves.
Yeah. If you're lucky, these things won't happen. It'll be something that, you know, somebody found a way to defeat it before it became a problem. But that doesn't mean you sit there and do
and
nothing
assume.
And assuming somebody's going to protect you. Especially when so much of what you need to do is not that expensive.
Yeah. And it is, you know, that's relative, as we've talked about before, where it's, will you make an investment? It is an investment.
Oh, yeah. In some way, if not monetarily, then it's an investment of time and resources in other ways. But it's necessary. I mean, it's just as necessary as making sure you're able to safely operate a motor vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't get me on my... Everybody should have a license to be on the internet kick.
Yeah, it's not something that we wouldn't talk about before. But it definitely is something that we've got to find a way for people to begin to participate. As you said in one of our email discussions this week, you're either going to be part of the solution or part of the problem. There's no more in between.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you have zero. If you were completely off the grid, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
But even then, I don't know. Maybe.
Mm. Good stuff. So.
Yeah, yeah.
Thanks for scaring us 2 weeks in a row.
There you go. Well, I don't know how scary we were last week, but this week is scary.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's our show for today, folks. So if you found some value in our show, head on over to helpmewithhippa.com/give and throw a little bit of patronage our way. We need some coffee. Don't forget you can review us on iTunes, Facebook, and all the other places we are. Share us out on social media. Tell everybody about us so that more people get to understand the information we're providing and the value that we're providing. So hopefully we can stop all the botnets. Yeah. If you want to see some really dangerous and crazy stuff, watch Mr. Robot on TV.
Terrifying. Absolutely.
Yeah. And as crazy as that stuff looks, it is all possible, which makes it even scarier.
Yeah.
But anyway. So for Donna and myself, remember, the HIPAA is not about compliance. It's about patient care.
You've been listening to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast, hosted by Donna Grendel and David Sims, the show created to help you with HIPAA. For more information or to ask us a question, visit our website at helpmewithhipaa.com. Neither Donna Grendel or David Sims are attorneys, and they do not offer binding legal advice concerning regulatory compliance. The information in this podcast should not be relied upon or construed as legal advice in any way. Consult your attorney for legal advice concerning compliance with HIPAA regulations.